All right, take your Bibles this morning. Open them up to the book of 2 Corinthians in chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Today, Cindy and I will be celebrating 30 years here at East River Baptist Church, and we want to thank you for allowing us to serve you over those three decades. Now, if you've been here that long, you have heard me preach over 4,500 times. And I'm sorry for you this morning about all of that. But I hope and pray that most of them have been a help and a blessing to you. But our goal this morning has always been, if you walk into the building next door, you'll see a sign on the wall there that says the purpose that East River Baptist Church exists. And one of those is to exalt the Savior. And the other one is to evangelize the sinner. And the third one is to edify the saints. Solomon said in the book of Ecclesiastes that a threefold cord is not easily broken. And I believe that. And so there's been a focus that I have tried to maintain over those 30 years. As Paul said to Titus, in order for there to be a strong church, I guess what I'm trying to say is I really do want the good hand of God to be upon East River Baptist Church, and I want it to stay on the church. The book of Revelation speaks about how the Lord can remove a candlestick, and the church can continue to go on, and many do, but they don't have the light. They don't have the touch of God. They don't have life. I believe where the Spirit of God works, I believe there is life. And I believe that God is working in people's hearts and in lives. Now, in order to do that, you have to agree with God. And you have to walk according to His rules. How can two walk together except they agree or be in agreement? Our church has to continue to walk in agreement with the Spirit of God and with the Bible. Do you agree with that? Now, when we talk about a threefold cord not being easily broken, when Paul wrote the book of Titus and wrote that to Titus, he said, number one, there has to be good leadership and it has to be maintained its integrity. He said there has to be responsible, faithful, active membership as well. That you don't come just to spectate, you come to participate in the ministry. And number three is about relationships. Because relationships have to be maintained in order for their leadership to be effective and in order for membership to stay motivated to serve. You have to maintain good relationships. When he wrote to Timothy in his first letter, he said, son, I'm going to charge you with something. He says, I charge you that they, meaning the church, teach no other doctrine. We don't get to pick and choose our doctrine. We are to maintain the Word of God and the Word of truth. He said, because the time will come when men will not endure sound doctrine. Matter of fact, the word doctrine is offensive to a lot of the new churches today that are springing up all around the country. They say that doctrine is divisive. Therefore, we cannot maintain the unity if we preach doctrine. What you have really is really not a unity of the Spirit of God with that kind of philosophy. You don't. And as far as I'm concerned, you can have unity down at the Masonic Lodge and not be able to have the Spirit of God working in you or through you. But he said, charge some that they teach no other doctrine. He said, because the time will come when they will not be able to endure sound doctrine. So I want to commend you today for your faithfulness. Because sometimes services, truly, sometimes you go into a service and you will not always enjoy what is being preached, but you sometimes have to endure what's being preached. What I don't want you to have to do is endure the preacher. But sometimes you do have to endure what is being preached, because sometimes it won't be easy. It won't be easy spoken, and it won't be easy received. But you have to endure that sound doctrine. But here's something else he said. He said some, talking about other churches, have swerved. You know what that word means, don't you? If you're driving down the highway. Man, traffic was rough the other night. Could have been worse. People are going by us 80 miles an hour. What you don't want is somebody, and I don't mind being in traffic when everybody's doing 80 miles an hour and everybody is staying in their lane. But it is when somebody swerves out of their lane that it creates chaos for everybody else. And he said, some have swerved. He said they've gotten off track and they have given place to vain jangling or emptiness or useless but busy, noisy services. I don't want to be guilty of that at East River. I need you to stay focused. I need you to understand the threefold ministry at East River Baptist Church, and I need you to maintain it at all cost. Look at 2 Corinthians 5. Let's look at one of them this morning. Maybe two of them, I hope. The third one tonight. But I want you to look at 2 Corinthians 5, verse number 14. Look at this. What is the threefold ministry of the East River Baptist Church? God likes threes. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God made man, body, soul, and spirit. Verse 14, he said, for the love of Christ constraineth us. And that is what should hold us together. The love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Then notice what he says in verse 15, and that he died for all, that they which live, that's us, should not henceforth, from this point forward, live unto themselves. You and I must not be a selfish person. We must not be only looking to please ourselves. He said that henceforth live unto themselves. You should no longer, being a child of God, be living for you. He says, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Look at verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Now, I want you to notice here in verse 18, 19, 20, and 21, the first step of this, the first part of this threefold ministry of the church. God has given to East River a ministry. And if you lose sight of this, God may remove the candlestick. Look in verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and that given to us, to East River Baptist Church, the ministry of reconciliation. If you mark in your Bible, you will find the word reconciled mentioned five times in these verses. It must matter to the Spirit of God. It must matter to the Lord. Look in verse 19, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Now look at this. And hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The ministry of reconciliation. The ministry of reconciliation. What does that word reconcile mean, Brother Johnny? I'll tell you what it means. It means that God is restoring a broken relationship between God and man. Why? Because God is holy. He is righteous. I don't think we can even comprehend how holy God truly is. He is righteous. He is just. He is without sin, without the capability of sin. The Bible says, in whom there is no darkness, Not even a shadow of turning with God. The Bible says His holiness is proclaimed in heaven. You have the endless praise of holiness by the angels and the cherubims and the seraphims. It must mean something in heaven. Isaiah caught a glimpse. After King Uzziah died, God gave him a vision and God opened the heavens. And he said, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. It says His train filled the temple. But He said above it stood seraphims. Each one of them had six wings. And He said they cried day and night, holy, holy, holy. God is holy. And the Bible says that heaven is a holy place. The heavenly Jerusalem is a holy place. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that nothing that is defiled will be allowed to enter into that city. Now here's the problem. Did you know that you, at your best state, on your best day, you are altogether vain? And while you may do good, you are not good. Every once in a while, you may do something good. Sinners can do good, but they are not good. The Bible teaches us very clearly that man, in Romans chapter 5, the reason why there has to be something done to help us, we are called ungodly. The first time I went to church and heard the preaching of the Word of God, I did not feel ungodly. But as I got under the light and the light began to shine on details in my life, I began to realize the Bible was correct, that I was a sinner. And that I, and because of that, I was an enemy of God and did not even know this. And I was then placed underneath the wrath of God and was not aware that I was in danger of the wrath of God and paying for the wages of my sin. Had no clue. That is why you and I have been given the ministry of reconciliation, because the world is dark. They are ignorant. They are blind. They do not know the danger that they are in. But you know, from the Garden of Eden all the way to the Garden of Gethsemane, God has given us shadows like Abel's sacrifice of where the blood of the innocent will be shed for the guilty. When He took that lamb and He gave it to God by faith, believing that that sacrifice would suffice at that moment to please the Lord by faith. Did you know that down through the ages, God has shown us those pictures and those shadows? And the Bible says that one day that shadow would become substance. And that substance was a person. And that person was Jesus Christ. And you have to maintain that message. You have to maintain the message that man is fallen. We have to maintain the message that God loves mankind in spite of His wickedness and His fallen nature. The Bible says we joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Now watch. The Bible says that God has initiated His great love and mercy. Why? Because God is light. And God is love. God commended His love toward us, and while we were yet what? Sinners. Christ died for us, being now justified by His blood. We shall be saved from wrath through Him. But that next verse, I truly like that one. When we were enemies, we were reconciled. There's the word. Reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Do you understand? God's given us that ministry, that mission, that work. He's given us not only that ministry in verse number 18, we must maintain that ministry at East River Baptist Church, the ministry of reconciliation. Brother Brian is in Arizona, sowing the seed. Brother Elsie is in Bolivia, sowing the seed. Brother Griggers is in the Philippines, sowing the seed. We have men all over the world that we support financially so that they might be able to sow the seed. They are ambassadors, but we also are here in New Caney and in Porter and in Cleveland and in Splendora and in Conroe. We also are ambassadors, and we have the message of reconciliation. We do. And the ministry, look at the message. The Bible says here in verse number 21, "For he hath made him," talking about Jesus, "to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." That's why when Paul would preach to those Jews in those temples and the Gentiles would gather around, he would say, "I have a message of glad tidings." Glad tidings. And the motive is because God is ready to forgive. Because he's holy, somebody had to pay for our sins. God doesn't just go around giving out get out of jail free cards or get out of hell free cards. Somebody had to pay the price. Somebody had to make the atonement. God initiated this by sending his son to the earth. And there Jesus Christ became sin for us. Now here's what you can do. Verse 19, with confidence. "To wit, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. And he says, he hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." And verse 20 says, in the last part of that verse, "You're able to say to a sinner, be ye reconciled to God." Be ye reconciled to God. You can come today and have that relationship with God fixed. God has made the first move by sending Christ to pay for our sins. The Bible says, "And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled." Those of you who know this song, would you join in with me on this particular stanza of this song? Charles Wesley wrote a great song that we sing, "Arise, My Soul, Arise." But there is a particular stanza in there. Don't leave me hanging here this morning. The one that says, "My God is reconciled." Can you remember most of that verse, that stanza? How about you singing it with me? "My God is reconciled, his pardoning voice I hear. He owns me for his child. I can no longer fear. With confidence I now draw nigh. With confidence I now draw nigh. And Father, and the Father, cry." Thank you. Amen. Now, let's move on just a minute. Let's look at the second part of this ministry. Turn with me to the book of Galatians. If you'll look just a little bit to your right, you'll find the book of Galatians in chapter 6 and verse number 1. What we see in the first part here is that East River must always, underlying all messages, all classes, everything that we do, we think about the lost man. We think about the sinner. We think about the unsaved. And we want them to come to Christ. Sometimes you want people to clean up before they participate. Do you realize that sometimes they have to come as they are and God cleans them up? The Bible says here in the book of Galatians. Now look at something else here. Not only is there a ministry that must be maintained of reconciliation, but also what I call the ministry of restoration. A New Testament church that has the good hand of God resting upon it maintains a ministry of restoration. Look what it says here in chapter 6, verse 1. "Brethren." Now, I was in the evangelistic mode just a moment ago. Now I'm going into the pastoral mode right here. Now I'm going to teach you something. I need you to listen carefully. One is important as the other. Look at verse 1. "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault. Ye which are spiritual, these are men and women who have grown, who love the Lord, who have been born again, and God wants to use you to do this. Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. We sometimes measure people by our own personal strengths, weaknesses, successes, etc. And we sometimes, when a person gets overtaken or falls out of fellowship with God or gets out of church or fails, sometimes we who are carnal say, I can't believe they did that. What you don't know is what happened in a moment of where they became disappointed either in themselves or in us or in God. We don't know what happened. And that is why Galatians 6:1 says that they have been overtaken. They have been overtaken by a fault. And the Lord says, I need you to consider the fact that you also can be overtaken. Do you understand that? You too can be overtaken. You say, I will never. Don't ever say, I will never. Never say never. Some who have been in church for a number of years are no longer in church today. Overtaken by a fault. Now listen, again, in having the message of the gospel is you showing the kindness and the love of God to a sinner through the power of the gospel. And now as a church, you need to understand that God understands that His children may be overtaken and may fail. Do you remember? Now listen, there are some people, and you have to have some good judgment here. There are some people you have to let go, and there are some people you need to go and try to get. So how do you know the difference? Well, there's Judas on one side, and then there's Peter on the other side. And the Lord let him go. But He didn't let Peter go. Because one was a devil from the beginning, and the other one, he just was a little bit too full of himself. And he had to be broken. And so the Lord said, son, He said, listen, Satan had desired to sift you. And He reminds him that one of these days you're going to deny Me. And Peter said, there's no way. He said, I've watched the other brethren. They're weak. I'm not. They may do it, but it won't be Me. I'll die for you. And he underestimated himself. And I want you to notice in another very important passage of Scripture. Bear with me. Turn with me quickly to James chapter number 5. Because maybe you have a family member. Maybe you have a husband. Maybe you have a wife, a son, or a daughter that you believe to be a child of God. You've seen a little bit of life. You've seen a little bit of light in them. You've seen something that others have not. And you would love for them to be restored. Look in James chapter number 5. Look what it says right here. Boy, this is a powerful verse of Scripture. Verse 19 and 20. Look at this. The ministry of restoration. Caring about your brother. Helping them to get back on track. If you get off track, I hope it's only for a day or two. I hope it's not for a month or two or a year or two. God's very patient and long-suffering with His children. Some have been out of the will of God even for 10 or 15 years, and God is able to get them back on track. God is able to do that. Look in James 5, verse number 19 and 20, but I need East River to believe that. I need you to understand that. You know what Jesus told Peter? He said, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Sometimes some people need to fail in order to be humbled, in order to become a servant, in order to be used by God. Look in James chapter 5, verse 19 and 20. Brethren. All right, so we know who he's talking to, right? Brethren. If any of you, of who? The brethren, do err from the truth, and one convert him. Can I get your mind off of the sinner right here? I'm talking about the lost sinner. Here we're talking about the saved sinner. You say, I'm not a sinner anymore. Well, James chapter 4 talks about how the sinner needs to draw nigh to God, how he needs to cleanse his hands and purify his heart, because that's what he's acting like. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, who is him? The one that's erred from the truth. By the way, truth is not just something you believe. It is something that you walk in. And when you quit walking in the truth, people can see that, and you are now walking in your own light. You're walking your own path. Verse 20. Let him know that he which converteth. That's what he did for Peter. Peter was converted. Let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way. Look at this. Shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. You say, well, he's talking about a lost sinner. I beg to differ with you on this. You know why? Because in 1 John chapter 5, comparing Scripture with Scripture, 1 John chapter 5 says, talking about the brethren, he said, if you see a brother sin a sin that is not unto death, he said, I would that you pray for him. He said, there is a sin that is not a sin unto death. He said, but there is a sin that is unto death, and I don't want you to pray about that. Now, I don't know where that line is. But what I am telling you is that when you see somebody getting off track, what your responsibility and ministry here is to begin to pray for them. Now, look with me in 2 Timothy chapter number 2, please. Look at 2 Timothy chapter number 2. And I mean this as if it was your own son, your own daughter, your own wife, your own husband, your own dad, your own cousin, your own friend. 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verse number 24. Look at this. The church's responsibility is to care, number one, for the sinner and for the child of God who has fallen into sin. Some of you here this morning, maybe you are trying to find your way back. Maybe you're trying to get yourself back into the will of God. I want you to know that East River Baptist Church wants you back in the will of God. And that it is possible to get back into the will of God. The first one we talked about is based entirely upon the forgiveness of God. As Jesus Christ being our propitiation, our sacrifice. The other one of you being restored is built entirely upon the forgiveness of God through the advocacy of Jesus Christ. He said, my little children, I would that you sin not, but if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, who is the propitiation for our sins. Oh, I remember Watchman Nee. I wrote it in the back of my Bible decades ago. He said, listen, he said, when you fail as a child of God, he said, you beating yourself up and you trying to feel, you know, just wretched as you possibly can, like some of the old Catholics used to do. They would take something and a whip and beat themselves across the back, trying to make themselves feel better because they had failed. He says, that's the wrong direction for you to look. He said, the direction that you need to look is at the cross and at the blood, because it is the blood where you will find yourself the ability to be cleansed on a daily basis. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All of this is about Christ. It's not the power of your confession, it is the power of His cleansing. However, confession is required. Look in 2 Timothy, please. Look in chapter number 2. Look in verse number 24. The Bible says this, the attitude of the church is you have to care. There's some responsibility on our part for the overtaken, for those who have erred, and for those who have been taken captive. Look in verse number 24. It says, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle. That's why in Galatians 6 verse 1, Brother Dean, it says, ye which are spiritual. If you're going to talk to somebody that's off track, their mind and imagination is already working against them. They already think that God's against them. They already think that you are thinking about them on a regular basis and condemning them and thinking of them when really you've got other things to be thinking about. But that's the way they think. Very sensitive. When a person walks in this building and they hadn't been walking with the Lord and they're not right with God, the Bible says that sometimes they will flee when no man pursueth. And they'll be sensitive about things of which we know nothing about, their imagination. And Satan is not going to turn loose of them without a fight. Verse 24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive. That's why you have to use some gentleness and some meekness. I didn't say weakness. Firmness. Being honest. Truthful. Gentle, but firm. Look in verse number 25. In meekness, but you also got to give them some truth. Instructing those that oppose themselves. Who are people that oppose themselves? Well, it just simply means that their habits and their lifestyle choices do not match the goals that they have for themselves. Their decisions are hindering their desires. He says they oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. And that's where it starts, because they are in error. They are no longer walking in the truth. To get back in the truth, you have to be willing to acknowledge the truth. Amen? Look at verse 26. That they may recover themselves. You see, we have a responsibility, and they have a responsibility to respond the right way. That they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. Boy, I wish I could convince everybody that's ever sat in this church to understand that you're not as strong with your will as you think you are. Now, some of you are very strong-willed. But when you become self-willed, you are going to be led astray by the devil. And he will use your strong will when he chooses to use you to hinder and harm the cause of Christ. If you have a strong will, yield that strong will to God. And be a strong-willed preacher, but not self-willed. Be a strong-willed husband and father, but not self-willed. Be a strong-willed wife and mother, but not self-willed. Man, I'm looking for some strong-willed young men that are not little weasels and wimps, that are strong-willed, but are not self-willed. You understand the difference? And young ladies that are strong-willed, that are not easily moved by their impressions and influences of their friends, their carnal friends, that is. We're talking here now about you yielding yourself and recovering yourself, but I need you to see something. And look in quickly. Turn with me to, I need to hurry here. I need you to Turn to 2 Corinthians 13. For some of you who do not believe that children of God can get into serious sin and still be a child of God, let me introduce you to the Bible. 2 Corinthians, look with me in chapter number 12. I said chapter 13, but would you forgive me? And look in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Look in verse number 20 and 21. I want to hurry here because I want to show you something in the book of Genesis, how this works. Okay? Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Look at this real quickly. Look in verse number 20. For I fear, this is Paul speaking to the church at Corinth, lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I would, and that I shall be found unto you such as you would not. Lest there be debates, envyings, wraths, strifes, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, and tumults. Well, that sounds like a lot of chaos going on inside of a church right there, doesn't it? A lot of carnality, a lot of arguing, a lot of contention, a lot of gossiping, a lot of whispering. Look in verse number 21. And by the way, you don't even consider that serious, do you? But God does. God does. See, you think that what you do with your mouth is less damaging than a person that gets out and abuses their morals. And you can see the immorality and the damage it does to the individual. But what you do with your mouth damages everybody that's around you. Look what he says in verse 21. Unless when I come again, my God will humble me among you, and that I shall bewail many. That word bewail there, it means, you know what? God is going to make me weep over you, groan over you, and grieve, weep, moan over your behavior. That I shall bewail many which have sinned already and have not repented of the uncleanness and fornication and lasciviousness which they have committed. All right, I need you to go with me to Genesis chapter 50. Let me close this message with this illustration. Genesis chapter number 50. Here we're talking about our responsibility as a church. Now the person that gets out of the will of God, they do have their responsibilities. And that is to acknowledge the truth. To accept personal responsibility regardless of what has happened in the past. To no longer use other people as an excuse for their own personal choices. To have an attitude of repentance and godly sorrow. In order to just say, hey, what can I do to get right with God? Tell me what you want me to do. That's the right attitude. Look at Genesis chapter 50. Look in verse number 14. Here's a perfect illustration of God's willingness to forgive. And our attitude should be like His, that we reflect Him in New Caney. That we reflect Him in this world. The ministry of reconciliation and the ministry of restoration when someone wants to get back into the will of God. Verse 14. And this is, you know, this is Joseph now, and his dad has just passed away. They've had a major funeral, much like that of a president. In verse 14, and Joseph returned unto Egypt, he and his brethren. Remember, now he's got 11 brethren. And 10 of them betrayed him, sold him into slavery, lied to their father that he had been killed, watched their father weep and with a broken heart, believing Joseph was dead, sold their brother into slavery and thinking that also that he was dead. Well, they find out later that he's not. But look in verse 14, and Joseph returned unto Egypt, he and his brethren, and all that went up with him to bury his father after he had buried. And after he had buried his father, when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph, here's that word peradventure again, will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us of all the evil which we did unto him. Now, the brethren represent the fallen ones. Their conscience is bearing witness of their past and what they have done to Joseph and how they have sinned against him. And now they're thinking all that we have done, he is going to hold us accountable for. Verse 16. They sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall you say unto Joseph. What's the next word? Can I hear you say that? Forgive. Forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren. You notice the brethren are not coding what they did. They call it a trespass. And notice it says, and their sin. For they did unto thee evil. So now you're seeing an honest confession here by the brethren. We trespassed, we sinned, what we did was evil. And that's the start of being restored. And Bible says, and now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph, look at Joseph's response. And that should be the response of East River Baptist Church. Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we be thy servants. That is a contrite attitude. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. He could see God's hand in all of this, even in their mistakes and their sins and trespasses. He believed that God could take something bad and turn it around and use it for good. He believed that God could take a person who had gotten out of the will of God and fallen and trespassed and could somehow use that even in his life for good. And look in verse 21. And now therefore fear you not. He said, I will nourish you and your little ones, and be comforted them, and spake kindly unto them. And this is how you know if you have been forgiven, and if you have been reconciled to a brother or a sister or church, is that they will once again begin to nourish you and care about your family and comfort you and speak kindly unto you. That's not pretense of forgiveness, is it? That's true forgiveness. I'm glad my father's like that. I'm glad my Savior's like that. East River Baptist Church is supposed to be like that. God is light and God is love. God expresses, there's something about it, our conscience, our lifestyles, our humanity, we feed on vengeance and wrath, getting even. Movies blow that up. And we love to see the bad guy getting what's coming to him. And then God comes along, sends his son to die for us as sinners, and then God saves us. And then he puts his spirit in us, and he says, as I am, I want you to be in this dark, wicked, ungodly world. So how does the church grow and stay together? They have to have, number one, their vision on the outside that they care about sinners. That's what God cares about. But then they also have to look on the inside and be willing to help their brothers and sisters stay on track and forgive and move forward and restore and to help. I pray this morning, did you know? Again, this is talking about now the purpose of the church. Did you know, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, Brother Kenny says that if the church, if somebody wanted to come back to church and get right with God and live for the Lord, did you know the Bible says that if the church is hesitant to forgive someone who truly is repentant and contrite, he says, you will then give devil an advantage in your assembly. I hate the devil. I am certainly no match for him, and I don't want to give him an advantage. Amen? And so I encourage you this morning as a church, be like God. Be godly. What is that? Be ready to forgive. Let's stand together, please. All broken relationships can be restored to some degree, especially in your heart and in your spirit. Some relationships are like scrambled eggs, can never be put back together, but may the church never be guilty of being ungodly. Father in heaven, in Jesus' name, Lord, I have done my best this morning. Help our church to see that we must, absolutely must, stay on track. That we cannot swerve from the ministry of reconciliation. Father, our missions conference is coming up. Our people have given sacrificially because we believe that you have commissioned us to reach across the street and across the world. May never one inch be given in this assembly to Calvinism and to carelessness. Help us to stay focused. And Father, I pray in Jesus' name that we also would care one for another and for our own who have fallen, been taken captive, and who have fallen by the wayside. Give us good judgment and discernment to know who is a Judas and who is a Peter. Help us to know what to do, but always to be like you, to be ready to forgive. Forgiving one another as Christ has forgiven us. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed. God bless you.